When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You guys, it's Allie with the Hollywood Life podcast. So I'm so excited. The book is finally here. And I've been deep in reading it. And
what are you up to?
I'm on chapter, I think, 9. Yeah, I have it on my Kindle.
Wow, you're almost finished. I think it's only like, was it 11 chapters? 12? Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah. So I'm absolutely loving it. And I love just so much of the advice that you give, so much of the female empowering words that you have and that we got a taste of in season one of the show, but has definitely shows that, you know, since you've been writing this since 2017, it's who you are.
I'm literally the most direct person on the planet, you know, and my book is the same way. I say it all, what I did right, what I did wrong, you know?
Yeah. And so just tell me a little bit about, you know, you started writing this in 2017 and have developed it over the years, released obviously in 2022. How has the story, like,
Well, the reason that it took me so long is because, you know, I work 20-hour days on my other job.
Right.
So I wrote the book very sporadically. I wrote it at nights, on weekends, while everyone else was vacationing. Like, so that's why it took so long, because it would be like a little spurt of writing here, a little spurt of writing there. I'd write in the summertime, like when I wasn't doing all my other jobs of running the EWG and filming the Netflix show and all the other stuff, that's when I would write my book. So that's why it took so long.
Yeah. And you did it before the show was even really
up. Oh yeah. Oh, way before the show.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about like why you decided to write the book even prior to having like the Netflix platform that you do now.
Right. Well, the show and the book are very different. The show is about my present defined by my past. Mm. The book is my story. It's my past.
Yeah.
You know, in the show, you just get little snippets, little tiny morsels. In the book, you get the whole full story, as you've seen. So it's very, very different. And I started writing the book after I became creative director of La Perla, because until then, I didn't want to tell my story because I didn't want to be defined by it.
Totally. Yeah.
I wanted people to know what I was capable of before I told them what had been done to me. Mm. I divide my life into like two different parts. When I was in my community, it's what was done to me. Since I've left, it's what I've accomplished. And when, after I became creative director of La Perla and people started seeing a little bit of what I'm capable of, I felt that it was a story I had to write, because I thought to myself, look, if my whole life is about fighting for freedom, right? Am I, like, even the lingerie or the shoes, it was always about freeing women from the pain of suffering for beauty, eradicating this concept that comfort is a dirty word in fashion, like all these kind of things. It's always been about freedom. And so I thought to myself, this is a book that has to be written, because if I, at 42 years old, without any education, without knowing a single human being in the outside world, could do this in such a short time period, anyone can.
Yeah.
And I felt that it was a responsibility to write the book. And that's why I'm so open and honest in it as well. It's because if I sugarcoat things, if I only tell you all the good bits, then someone trying to fight for their freedom will say, oh, well, it was so easy for Julia. She didn't make mistakes. And that wouldn't help anyone. I needed to show people that it was messy and confusing and frightening, and that I made mistakes, but I just wouldn't give up. And I just pushed forward. And I think that, to me, is the purpose of this book. I want people to read this book and write their own story.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of my favorite things that you say and you tell, and you had told me this in our last interview as well, was just about how the fact that you, when you came out of Muncie, you didn't really know anything about this business that you've entered. And so you didn't know whether asking Tommy Hilfiger point blank, hi, can you like teach me how to do fashion production for just a second, Art Basel?
Exactly.
Like, you didn't know that that was maybe not the thing to do.
Exactly.
And I think thinking that way and telling people to kind of cast aside status quo and just hustle is a really important lesson.
Definitely. I think my cluelessness was part of my strength.
Yes.
Because I didn't have preconceived notions of how it was done.
Right.
I thought of how it should be done.
Yep.
And I also didn't think I knew everything. So I asked questions and I stretched my mind. And I think, and the other thing is, you know, I didn't realize what a crazy endeavor was.
Right.
I didn't know enough about the industry.
Right.
So I was like, hey, if I can travel from the 18th century to the 21st century, I can start a shoe brand. Sure.
Yeah. You're like, I have some good ideas. I know I'm a woman. I wear shoes.
Yeah, exactly. And that was it. And so it's my ignorance that actually gave me the courage to do the things that I did next.
Right. And then the story is about your parents, you know, and I like how you say that the show is a snippet of your life. You know, it doesn't show really everything that you went through to
even
get
remember.
Into Muncie and how you came there. And it's really interesting to see how your parents felt as though they were leaving something super evil and restricting and terrible for something that maybe offered them a better life.
Right. But then they go into another place that's evil and not evil. Of course,
well,
I don't want to say
but restrictive.
That's just as restrictive and controlling.
Controlling.
To me, that's my only explanation, is that they grew up needing an ism.
Uh-huh.
They grew up being told what to do. They grew up thinking that the individual doesn't matter and that there's some higher power, whether it was Stalin or Brezhnev or communism,
right.
Someone knew better. And so they went in search, and when communism betrayed them and they became massive anti-communists, they went searching for another ism that had just as many rules, that you never had to think of what the right thing was to do because someone was going to tell it to you. You know, I think I write this story in my book that I was in Brighton Beach and this man was complaining about how much he misses Russia. And I was so shocked because my parents hate Russia.
Right.
I've never heard them say one nice thing about Russia. So I'm looking at this guy like, what is it that you miss? And you know what he tells me? He says, I miss not having to make decisions. With freedom comes confusion and fear and the unknown. A lot of people don't like the unknown.
Right.
They want a rule book. They want a guideline. They want someone else to tell them what to do. And communism did that. And the extreme form of ultra-Orthodox Judaism does that. And so to them, they just took one ism and switched it for another.
Right. And it's interesting to me because your mom seems like such a powerhouse. Like when she went in front of the party and was like, you can't take my husband away from me. I'll kill myself. And, you know, this future communist baby and, you know, all of this stuff. She seems like such a powerhouse. So why do you think that she was able to then go and live under this control still versus what you did?
The only thing that makes sense, again, the only thing that makes sense to me is that she was brought up that you need to suffer and martyr yourself for a cause. So she literally chose a religion that would be the most difficult for her. That's the only thing that makes sense. What?
Yeah.
And she needed to be a martyr. Like, and throughout my life, like, my mother liked to suffer. Do you know what I mean? She wanted to suffer for a cause.
Mm.
Gave her strength and purpose. And then the other thing is, again, she was so used to everything being set out for her. As brilliant as she was, she liked rules. Mathematician wanted just someone to tell her what to do in terms of life, right? And so she chose a religion that, again, she doesn't have to decide anything. And I think, you know, there's a lot of power in religion and a lot of beauty in religion if you don't take it to the extreme.
Right.
And one of the things that all religions do is that they give meaning and purpose to events. Any religion gives people strength because it says this is happening for a reason.
Yeah.
So when my brother, my five-year-old brother, was killed in a car accident, she survived that by being told that this is God's will and that this child was a recycled soul that needed to fix something that he had done wrong in his first life. And so she was this righteous woman who was given this gift of God of having this child for the few years his soul needed to be saved. And so that takes an unendurable tragedy. Something, I mean, no mother wants to even conceive. I mean, it's you can't live. I mean, how do you live? It's so, you know, it's, I can't even say the words. It's so horrible. But it made it with purpose. It right. gave it meaning. He didn't just die for nothing. Mm-hmm. And so that's religion. It gives you purpose. It yeah. gives you meaning. It tells you that there's a plan and that there's someone directing traffic and there's stop signs and red lights and green lights. So you're not driving around haphazardly hoping no one will hit you. It's that feeling of security that someone else knows better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do think that that's obviously, like you said, really important as long as it's not to the extreme. I have a friend who is a therapist for addicts. And she always says that believing in something, it doesn't even have to be religion, just believing in something higher than you is one of the best ways to get through it. And when the addicts look at her and they're like, no, that's not true, she said, go to the ocean and ask the waves to stop.
Yeah.
Try to make the waves stop. They won't. And like that's, you know, that's what she
goes, I mean, to do. Exactly. I think, you know, all the AAs, I've read a little bit about this, not, you know, so much, but it's like you have no uncertainty. Mm-hmm. You know, my son, before he became irreligious, when he was still kind of deciding, he said, yeah, but Ima, mom, right? He's like, but your way of life, you don't have all the answers. And to him, that was a negative. And I told him, no, Shlomo, that's a positive. Not having all the answers means you keep asking the questions. Mm-hmm. Means you keep building and creating and inventing because you know you don't have all the answers. I think stagnation is thinking you've got all the answers.
Right. And that's almost... that's that sense of righteousness and that,
exactly.
you know, kind of honestly, like masculine toxicity.
It that is. Comes I'm from sorry. Those, it's those that qualities. We know better. We're the men. We read the laws. We're going to transmit it to you women, and you're put on this earth to serve us. And that's what God wants. And if you don't like it, you're a bad person.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Now, in last season of the show, we saw, your kids and Batsheva in particular, a little nervous about the book to come out, a little nervous about what was going to be written in it. Now that it's been out and they've gotten the opportunity to read it, and I'm sure they read the manuscript before it came out, what was their reaction? And do you feel like it's helped your relationship?
Well, actually, not all of them have read it.
Okay.
So Shlomo, okay, so each one of them has read a different form of it. Okay. Miriam read the whole book in its entirety. Shlomo really wanted to read it, but I didn't want him to read all the sex stuff because it's weird that my son should be reading sex stuff. So I took a copy of the book and I blanked out all the, you know, escapades, let's just call them. So none of that. And so he read that version.
Uh-huh.
So his okay. version is a very clean fourth grader version of the book.
It's rated G.
It's super, super, super rated G. And then Batsheva has not read it at all.
Oh.
Just like she said on the show, that she wasn't sure she was going to read it. She and I thought she was never going to read it, because she's like, Ima, I know the story. I lived through the story. Like, I don't, you know. And then when the book came out, she said, actually, you know what? I do want to read it. And she said she's going to wait until she has a boyfriend. So that she can have, like, you know, just in case there's anything that causes her, you know, can, you know, she just wants someone to hold her hand, basically.
Right.
You know, so she's, yeah, exactly. So she is going to read it, but she has not read it yet. And of course, my baby, Aaron, is not allowed to read it.
Yeah, no.
Like, Aaron, you wait till you're 35, and then I'll do the same. I'll send you the same copy I sent Shlomo, minus the sex stuff. That's the version you can
read. That's for you. Exactly.
That's for you.
I love that. And I think that that's really interesting about Batsheva and wanting, because when I've spoken with her, we've done an interview, and she said that since her split from Ben, she's been really close. You guys have gotten closer, and you've really come to her support and rescue. And so I think that it makes sense. You can't walk her through your story.
Right, exactly. Yeah, she needs. Yeah, exactly. And it's really true. Like, she called. I mean, we've always been close, and then we had that time period when it was kind of.
Yeah.
And then now, like, my goodness, she has really. I mean, you're gonna make me cry, because, you know, they're just such great kids. I'm so lucky to have them. And she's such a big support.
Yeah, she's really lucky to have you too, especially as such a strong and empowered woman who knows what she wants.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And especially going through what she's going through. And I, honestly, I will say, last season, I felt like this was going to come. I was like, she can do this. I just knew. I see her.
Interesting.
He's like me. You know. Like, she needs to experience life. And, like, I look up to you so much. And so, and I know that she does too. You. And so having that, you as a role model, like, how could you not want to just see what else you can do? Yeah,
exactly.
And have that independence a little. And she talked to me a lot about that, and the independence, and just you teaching her to always be your own, no matter if you have a partner, to be your own person.
Exactly. Exactly. So, they're just amazing. And I think also for her, Ben is such a good guy. I care about him so much. You know, he'll always be part of our hearts, and, you know, we all love him. And I just think they got married at 19 because they couldn't have sex without marriage.
A lot of people do it.
And then, of course, she doesn't want to be religious anymore, and he does. And it's, you know, it makes perfect sense. But I think once they both find their significant others, I'm going to make a prediction that they're going to become best, like, really close friends. And then he can come over again. Yeah. He's a lovely person. And Batsheva feels the same way. Like, she does want to be his friend, and he wants to be her friend. I think they just need a little time. They need to find a girlfriend and a boyfriend. And then I think they can, you know, slowly become friends.
How have you been kind of helping her through the split and just being that support?
She stayed in my house for a couple of months. And like, she's coming for lunch today. And we just talk a lot. We talk, you know, we hold each other's hands, you know? And I think, you know, she's really out there. She's enjoying her life. She's a strong person. And I think, you know, she's finding her way on her own, in her own way. She's a super independent, strong person, you know?
Gets that from her mom.
Thank you.
And, you know, I want to ask, but in not like
you can do it in a
that everybody else is asking. I more so, like, as somebody that loves you, how is your mental health? How are you doing as an individual right now, just in what you're going through?
It's been tough. I mean, you know, as you see from my book, I'm the most open person there is. I've never hidden anything in my life. I mean, it's just so painful and outrageous, especially since I worked 20-hour days. And in 2.5 years, through COVID, I brought this company between a $500 million and $1.1 billion valuation, from a $83 million valuation that couldn't even get sold at $70 million in 2018. Right. So from $70 million to $1.1 billion, and for someone's ego and, you know, hatred to try to demolish everything I've done and steal everything I've made is really painful. And, you know, it's going to be a long battle. I am nowhere near. I'm not going to stop fighting until the truth gets told, because the reality is I have so much proof, so much documentation. And of course, what we did just now was a very short emergency thing where, you know, we were inundated with things. And so, and it's a partial ruling. Like, she hasn't even ruled what I do own. Right. And then we'll just keep fighting. This is just the beginning. I'm not going to stop until the truth comes out.
Yeah.
And anyone who knows me knows what I've done. I'm never going to stop fighting. But has it been easy? Of course not. It's extremely painful. And, you know, it's really fun. I'm going to tell you something very funny that I haven't told anyone on any podcast yet.
Yeah.
There was like a very, you know, the day when that partial ruling came out, which says what the judge thinks I don't have, but doesn't say what I do have, meaning she could say 49.9%. She could say anything until she writes the ruling. We just don't know. And then she put in this whole thing about how I can still sue for damages and this, that, and the other. So there's a lot that hasn't been told yet. Correct. That we can't find out until she actually writes her decision.
Correct.
And so it was a very dark day for me. I felt like I've worked so hard. I've come so far. I've done everything right. I've never taken a penny that doesn't go. Well, that doesn't have anything to do with that. That was just 50-50. But just in general, like all these crazy accusations. And I felt despair. Yeah. I really did. I felt despair. And then this incredible woman named Ellen, literally, it's totally from, like, I believe in God still. I'm spiritual, not religious, you know?
Yeah.
She was my angel. She was really my angel. And she got COVID and she had these tickets to this show called Suffs, about the women's suffragette movement.
Okay.
And she could have given them to anybody. But for some reason, she texted me and said, hey, you know, got COVID, can't go. Would you like these tickets? I mean, she has thousands of friends. She could have given them to any person on the planet. And I go and I see the show that same night. It was that weekend. I guess it happened on Thursday, and I think I went to the show on either Saturday or Sunday. I can't remember. Friday. I don't remember. Anyway. And it's the story of the suffragettes. And it's, you know, they fought and they were jailed, and they were accused of being seditionists, and they were accused of being traitors, and they were vilified and attacked and demolished in the press. And I mean, so much hatred.
Yeah.
And there's this moment where they're sitting in a prison cell being force fed because they were on a starvation protest.
Right.
And they didn't give up. And I walked out of that show renewed, determined. And I said to myself, Julia, men have been abusing women and taking advantage of us, stealing our ideas, taking credit for our work forever. It is a long battle. I've been fighting it since I walked out the door of my community. And watching this woman reenact the scene in this jail cell, I reminded myself that my fight has just started.
Yeah.
I am not giving up. I am not going to stop. I am not going to quit until the truth comes out. And that's it. And so, Ellen, I don't know if you listen to this podcast, but thank you. You were my angel.
Yeah.
And she really gave that show was God put it there right when I needed it most.
Yep. Absolutely. I couldn't believe in any of that more. And also just that I know that your truth will come out in time.
Yes, it will. Sometimes, maybe next month or this month or 3 months, but it will come out and people will see what has been done to me. And yeah.
I love that. And I love being at a show that renewed your spirit. I'm such a big Broadway person. And I think that is what they're there for. Art.
Yeah. And I think it's like my book or my TV show. A story can change your life.
Yes.
A story can give someone strength. A story can give someone courage. A story can give someone a renewed sense of purpose. And that's what I want my book to be. That was the purpose of my show. And here, someone else's story inspired me. I hope my story inspires others.
Mm-hmm. And I love that you posted, I think you had done a Michelle Obama quote about they go low, we go high. And I think that that's the best way to do it. And it seems like that is what you're doing.
I don't talk to press about it at all.
Nope.
Nothing. And you know what? And yeah, is it going to hurt me in the short term? Yes, because it's all his side of the story. And I'm not going back out there being like, whoa, he did this and that. That's not my way. And I'm not going to do it.
Yep.
I want the truth to come out. And it may be a battle. I would have liked it to be a short one. Clearly, it's not going to be. But I'm not going to stop fighting because I have the proof. I have the truth on my side. I mean, there are... all of our tax returns say 50-50 ownership. PPP loan applications say 50-50 ownership. Bank loan applications, immigration papers,
right.
So much proof, so much. So, you know, sometimes people pile such a large pile of that it's hard to dig through in a very short time period. But I believe once the whole story is told and the whole lawsuit is done, the truth will come. This was the battle, not a war.
Yep.
And that show gave me the renewed strength to fight the war.
I love it. And then season 2 of My Unorthodox Life has also been in progress of being filmed. And how fun that the world has kind of opened up now that you guys are able to like do things and not be like sheltered in your Hamptons house or sheltered here, sheltered there.
Exactly.
What can we expect this season from you and the family?
Oh boy, you can imagine. It's gonna be crazy. You know when it was filmed, so
yeah,
it's always my story, it's my life. So,
and you're not holding back, which I love about you.
Never hold back.
Love it.
And that's why also so painful, exactly what I'm being accused of. I'm like the most direct, open person on planet Earth.
Right.
I've never had anything in my life.
Right.
It's such bizarre. Anyway, okay.
It's the male, it's the male ego, Julia. I blame everything on the male ego.
Yeah. It's so crazy.
Get over yourself.
It's so crazy. But you know, it is painful because if I was a person who like was sneaky, like if I'd written my book where I didn't make mistakes and I didn't own to, but that's not who I am. I'm the most, people may like me, they may hate me, but I always am straightforward.
Yeah.
I've never hidden anything in my life. That's my whole problem. That's why I get yelled at all the time.
That's why I get in trouble.
I mean, yeah. So, I mean, the whole thing. Anyway.
I feel for you. I'm rooting for you.
Thank you. And it's so lovely how many people that I thought would run away the minute they read that first article, they don't believe it because they know me.
Yeah.
And that's it. And the people who know me have all stood by me.
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
Oh. Yeah.
So I'm so grateful to my friends because guess what? They're real friends.
Yes. Which is the most important thing to have right now in this situation. You want your support system, because that's who matters the most. Like,
exactly.
You know, screw the noise.
Yep.
Glory exactly. People, and that's what matters.
Exactly.
We just had Christine Chu on the podcast.
I love her so much.
The new episode of, or the new season of Bling Empire that came out. And tell me a little bit about that crossover too. She is a queen just like you.
That she made a launch party for my book in LA.
Yes, I saw. I emailed Deandra. I was like, I need to go to this next time.
Oh yeah, like you didn't, I'm so sorry. I didn't, you know.
Oh no, not you. In
lawsuit, like I don't. But I mean, what a friend.
I know.
What a friend. You know, just such a lovely person.
I know, she really is. And she has been through it all as well. And even what we talked about with her was that, you know, at the end of this season, she was like, I'm playing the long game. You can say what you want about me. I'm taking a lot of hits, but truth will come out.
Yeah. And
she's a good, you know.
She's amazing. She's been such a support. Again, my friends stayed my friends, and I am forever grateful for that.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. And this, yes, the book launch looked so fun. I'm friends with Sydney Sadek, and I saw that she
was
such a
That was a lot of fun. And it was just such a lovely gesture.
Yeah.
So nice.
To celebrate you.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
And what else has been going on? What do you have coming up?
I've got the shapewear that's coming to stores soon. And I'm trying to think. And you know, and then it's really, you know, fighting this fight right now. The predominant part of my day is spent, you know, getting back what is mine.
Yeah.
And, you know, and going, and again, I'm going to do it through courts, not through the press.
Yeah.
But, you know, the truth will be out there.
Yeah. I know that it will. And I am rooting for you. You have a whole team here.
Yes, thank you. I mean, it's so good to, I'm sorry, I see your face and I feel good because I know this is a person who knows me, who knows who I am, who will, you know, and it's just really lovely. Like, I won't forget the people who stood by me now. Don't, I will never forget.
Of course, I will always fight for you because you're right. I do. I know you and I know that I know your heart and I know your mind and I know what a inspiration you are to so many women and women who haven't even heard your story yet. And so that's my job and making sure everyone does hear it.
Thank you, my love. Thank you.
Of course. Thanks for joining me today, Julia.
It's so much fun. I had such a great time talking to you.
Me.
Adore you.
Mwah. Do you mind if I do a little intro? Because I fully forgot when we started. So I'm just going to do hey guys, welcome to Hollywood Life Podcast. We have a really special guest today. Julia Moretti just released her book, Brazen, and you can say hi, thanks for having me, and then we can Okay.
We're fine.
Hey, what's up, you guys? It's Allie from the Hollywood Life Podcast, and I have such a special guest today. I am honored to call her a friend and a role model to me, and she just released her new book, Brazen. So please welcome Julia Hart. Hi, Julia.
Hi, it's so lovely to be on, Allie. I adore you so much. Thank you for being so supportive and so wonderful. I'm so excited to be here to get to talk about my book.
Me too. Let's jump right in.
Great.
All right. Perfect. Thank you